I'm Cam Hall.
On the Bro Radio Newsroom, a law coming into force today in England and Wales giving powers to police to act against people who harass women and girls in public. The government says offenders will no longer be able to hide and could even face up to 2 years prison time. It's part of a strategy to combat violence against women and girls. Some have been sharing their experiences.
They were sat in the window seat and then a gentleman came and sat next to them. He then started to expose himself on the train.
The guy was like, oh, can I sit down? And there was like a seat next to her. She was like, yeah, yeah, you can sit here. He's like, no, I want to sit there.
I'll see looks and stuff I get on the train and I'll just put my earphone and I'll just look away.
New business rates are taking effect in England and Wales, with some industry groups warning they could lead to higher bills and job losses. Their taxes on premises and are forecasted to contribute an annual £34 billion to local government funding. Some don't think a 15% cut announced for pubs and live music venues is enough after significant relief during COVID. Three of six candidates standing in the Pennebont Bro Morgannwg constituency for Reform UK have stepped down less than a week after the party launched its full list of Senate candidates. Derek Roberts, who was second on the party's list in the constituency and the chair of the local branch, stood down for personal reasons which have not been made public, according to a Reform UK source. Owen Clatworthy, the party's sixth candidate, has also left the party in protest over the selection process. Both decisions came after Corey Edwards, the first candidate on the list, stood down last week after a photo appeared to show him performing a natty salute. In sport, Wales boxer Craig Bellamy says he was angry with his side's performance in their 1-1 draw with Northern Ireland last night. They had to come from behind in Cardiff, with Sorba Thomas scoring the equaliser. Bellamy says their first half display simply wasn't acceptable and insists standards must rise by higher going forward.
It was the first time at half-time I had to go in and really go, you know, we can't waste games. Average teams have excuses. We can't. I don't believe we're an average team, but our behaviour was, and that can't be right. Second half was a lot better.
Hello and welcome to The Vale This Week from Bro Radio. On tonight's edition, Oliver has been out and about once again, this week in Penarth, finding out about some of the key issues facing voters ahead of the Senate election in May. I'll sit down with outgoing Vale of Glamorgan MS Jane Hutt, who retires after 27 years serving the constituency. We'll hear about her time in office, some of her key achievements, and about devolution more widely. About new stats that say one-third of eligible people in Wales don't take up the opportunity for bowel cancer screening. Celia will hear more about the work of the charity Platform, which is based in King's Square, and extending its service to provide a space for young people to connect with others, get mental health support, and find opportunities following a recent expansion. And Rhiannon's gone to Penarth to find out more about the centenary celebrations for the Italian Gardens on the Esplanade, and Jasmine's found out more about the return of RNLI lifeguards to Whitmore Bay ahead of the Easter weekend. But first, it's 5 weeks until voters go to the poll in the 2026 Senate election. In the coming weeks, we'll be speaking to some of the candidates looking to represent you in the Pennebont, Bro Morgannwg and Caerdydd Penarth constituencies, where Oliver has been this week to find out more about voters' intentions and some of the key issues that matter most to them.
With the 2026 Senate election quickly approaching, we are going around the Vale to talk to people about the issues that matter the most to them. I'm in Penarth to see what those key changes are, and what they want to see from the next Welsh Government, and where they feel their vote is currently going. We first spoke to Paul, a Labour voter who's been confused by the pledges many parties have made in the past few weeks.
I don't think Labour have put their case very clearly across at all. I haven't got a clue really what they're standing for.
Have you had a look at much policies of the other parties as of yet?
I've heard stuff on the television and on the radio. I haven't actually physically looked at written material. I've heard a lot. They all seem to be quite confused, or, you know, trying to do what's popular and not necessarily what the right thing is.
For yourself, is there any policies that you care about in particular coming up?
The tax, the actual income tax they're proposing to... They're talking about lowering an income tax, and they're trying to push for that, the Labour government, so that would be something that would be interesting for my family, not necessarily for me, but yeah. I think Labour is the only one that applied maybe possibly could stop the extreme right wing getting in, if I'm honest with you. That's what I believe.
Conversations with many people during our time in Penarth revealed the presence of environmental and cleanliness issues in the town. Juliet, who moved to the area in the last 5 years, has seen an increase in litter across the town centre.
I'm undecided on a party, but my concerns locally are the community sort of facilities that seem to be sort of fading away. I'll get down to basics. It'll be things like bins. It's the rubbish. It's the lack of police, basically, being seen on the street, even though I know that they sort of say that there's more people on the street, but it's, I don't think that's the case, really. I'm not from Wales originally, and I've only lived here for 5 years, but in those 5 years, I've seen, I can only talk about Penarth, but I can see more bins have gone, there's more rubbish on the street, it does feel like there's more crime.
And you, has there been much belief that the Welsh Labour government have done a good job in the last 5 years in a Senedd government?
I feel like I'm not really qualified to answer that, but in my opinion, no, just from the people that I talk to.
Despite new reforms made to the electoral process in May, many still seem dissatisfied with the type of polling taking place. Philip wants to see further changes to be made to eliminate the need for tactical voting.
I would rather have an even more subtle and nuanced voting system that didn't leave us wondering, doing guesswork on tactical voting. My personal favourite is a single transferable vote, which eliminates the need for tactical voting completely. I would like all parties to be honest about their environmental priorities. I think properly getting behind our existing Future Generations Act would be a good principle to be acting on.
And are there any parties you're looking at in particular for your vote in May?
I know a party I would vote tactically to keep out, because I think what they're offering is fueled by simplistic grievance and anger, and I'll leave your listeners to guess which party that might be.
We then came across Ray, who, dissatisfied with the current Welsh Labour government, is looking towards smaller parties for his vote.
Labour got a call. They just ruined everything, absolutely ruined everything, you know. And they're sending money away to Uganda, all this money to plant trees, you know. And there's people here homeless, starving, you know. It's terrible, terrible. Propel with Neil McAvoy. It's on Facebook all the time. I have met him when he was canvassing, and he gets things done. I mean, there was a lot of rubbish in our street just piled up there. Been there about 7 years. Showed him. Within a week, he was gone. So Neil McAvoy got my vote for Propel.
Alongside a viable discontent for Labour, right-wing parties have clearly caught many people's eyes in Penarth. Tony believes reform would act in the best interest for Wales if elected in May.
I think you'd have to vote reform for certain, one of the two. It's about time that the main parties gave way and let somebody else take over. The Labour Party's been disastrous for Wales. Worst education figures, worst health figures in any of the UK countries, one of the worst health records in Europe. The Green Party is frankly frightening. Their leader and their policies are terrifying. Plaid Cymru is basically another arm of Labour, so if you have Plaid Cymru in, it'll just be the Labour government again. And I don't think they act for Wales anyway. So I think really what we need in Wales and in the UK is a completely fresh take on politics as a whole. And I think we need to change the way that we see politics and give up the old party politics system and vote for parties which actually have got a vision for the future of the UK. And I think the newer parties, their policy seem to be to put the British people first. And I don't think any other political party does that, because I think all politicians are only there for their own personal ends. They don't care about policies or the people. I think they care about themselves. I certainly will be voting for reform in the May elections, and simply to get a fresh take on the future of Wales, not for anything else.
On the pier, we met Stephen, who is sceptical of the Welsh Parliament and believes major changes need to be made to the NHS in Wales. So what are your current thoughts coming into this election?
In fairness to the Greens, I don't agree with everything they're absolutely the policies, but they're the only ones so far I've actually put literature through my door regarding this election and seeing what they would like to campaign on and things. And I think that they might do something. They could be a force for it. And I think Plaid Cymru could very well have the overall majority, but they might need the Greens possibly. Because I don't think there'll be an overall majority. For some reason, I don't know why it is, but all of a sudden it seems the Labour Party now seems to be somewhat unpopular so far, according to opinion polls and things. And this is very surprising, because it'll be the first time in that since the Assembly that they've actually been under pressure.
Do you have much trust in the Welsh Government in the last 5 years?
I've never agreed with the Welsh Assembly in the first place. I've always been of the opinion it's been a complete waste of money, because in Wales we have local councils, got an MP. I've never really seen any need for another one. And I think there's enough representatives with the local councils and MP and things to look after Wales. I've never agreed with this. I've always voted against it. I think that's a complete waste of money.
And are there any policies in particular you hold close to your heart?
Try and improve the health service and the potholes. Definitely. I see loads and loads of potholes now, which have been neglected, and they're getting worse.
What's your experience with the NHS been like as well?
With my wife there, in fact, that when we've been admitted to the accident emergency in the Heath, waiting at least 12, 13 hours, and there's been the gaps. In fact, there were 7, 8 hours before she's been seen. As I say, well, we'll have employed more nurses, doctors and nurses. It'll take about 6 or 7 years for a doctor or nurse to be fully qualified, so nothing's going to change until then. I don't think anything will change in the service until the actual care for the elderly will probably change.
As polling day comes ever closer for those across the Vale, there is still uncertainty as to which party many will vote to the Senedd, not just in Penarth, but across Wales. For information as to who is standing in the Caerdydd, Penarth and Penybont Bromagallo constituencies, go to broradio.fm/election.
Now, we've already talked about people's thoughts on the upcoming Senedd election in Holton Road last week and in Penarth this week, but after 27 years serving the Vale of Glamorgan, Jane Hutt won't be standing for re-election come May the 7th. Jane has been an MS since the start of the devolution back in 1999, serving 26 of those years as a minister, making her the third longest serving minister in the UK, only beaten by Alfred Balfour and Winston Churchill. I sat down with Jane Hutt earlier this week for one of her final interviews as MS for the Vale of Morgan, beginning by asking her how it felt after 27 years to be stepping down and retiring.
Well, it is very strange, very mixed feelings. I mean, I actually, it's nearly 27 years come May. 1999, I was elected. So if you think about that, over a quarter of a century, it's a huge part of my adult life. It's been a challenge. It's been tough at times, but it's been a great honour and privilege to be in this role, to be re-elected 6 times and now to be facing a change in my life, because I'm still very active, but I do feel that now was the right time to leave. But as I said, yes, it's been a huge chunk of my life and of course my family's life. But I moved to Barry very quickly after I got elected with my family, and there's lots to do in Barry in the Vale of Glamorgan, and lots to do with my family.
I think I heard a figure that was said by Floyd that you're one of the third longest serving minister in government, and that includes Winston Churchill on the list. So how does it feel to be in a list with Winston Churchill?
Well, you know, I'm pleased and grateful that I've had the opportunity to be a minister, because that is where you have got the prospects of change and power in your fingertips, and, you know, working with a team. And of course, when I started, I was appointed as Health and Social Services Minister way back in 1999, and it was very tough. There was a very low budget in health. Health is always what they say. Being a health minister is the toughest job, and I was nearly 6 years as health minister. I think that sort of really took its toll in terms of huge responsibilities you feel in terms of health, and being responsible for the development of the and maintaining the health service. But of course, I mean, one can say over all those years that it's I have also had some fantastic jobs. Education, I mean, wonderful to think of the funding we've put into schools here in the Vale of Glamorgan, but also our finance, I think, is something where it's a bit like being Chancellor of the Exchequer for Wales. You actually have great opportunity to work with your colleagues to make sure everyone's got the funding you need, and also to address things not just in Wales, but also with the UK government. And when I was Finance Minister, it was a part of the time there was a coalition between the Conservatives and Liberal Democrats, and I worked very hard to try and get a better funding deal for Wales. I think the main thing I'd say, and I could go on for a long time, but I'm not going to, about being a minister and about the roles I've played, Chief Whip, Trevnith, the manager, which is working with other political parties, making sure that your own people in your own party are sort of performing well, supporting them through difficult times. But the main thing in politics is really about relationships and diplomacy. And I think that's perhaps where my strengths have been. I'm not always getting it right as well, of course, but very grateful for all of that. So, you know, it is a point now where I'm reflecting on all of that.
And talking about reflecting, when you look back, is there kind of one standout thing that you're really proud that you were able to achieve as an MS or as a government as a whole?
Well, I mean, one of the first things I did, which I think is really important and it really holds clear today, is agree that we should have a children's commissioner, an independent children's commissioner, someone who was appointed partly by children and young people following an awful scandal in a children's home in North Wales. We're talking now 26 years ago that this happened. But, you know, we have a wonderful children. We've had children's commissioners over the years, a wonderful one now, Rocío Fuentes, who's really speaks up for children. But, you know, I also think I've mentioned investment in schools. I think it's really important that we have been able to rebuild our new schools, and school buildings are really important. It's great to see them here in Barrie and Atlantic Major, Cowbridge. I mean, these are many issues about improving our school buildings as well. But I think finally, I'd say as a government, investment in our early years and Flying Start, only just down the road here in Barrie, the wonderful Flying Start, which early years, if you don't actually invest, particularly perhaps children who haven't got all the prospects and opportunities, we've been through bad period of austerity and cost of living. If you can invest in those children, you know, and their parents in very early stages, I'm really proud of Flying Start.
With the upcoming election now, there are lots of changes coming, more MSs than ever, but also more than the ministerial role, I guess you're the first and only MS that will ever exist for the Vale of Glamorgan as well. So how proud are you of how far the Vale of Glamorgan has come and the work you've been able to do in the Vale of Glamorgan to make it become a better place?
Well, I think it's interesting because way back, I mean, I was involved in the Yes for Wales campaign. I very strongly believe in devolution, that we need to get people responsible right down in local communities in Wales. So we did, you know, the Vale of Glamorgan didn't actually vote for devolution way back then when we had the votes, the referendum in 1997. But I think I hope I've been able to establish the worth of devolution as the MS over these years. I've got re-elected. It's described as a marginal seat. We've had Conservative and Labour as the two main parties really featuring. But now we do have an opportunity. I do very strongly believe people's vote should count. So I think we certainly needed more members. It has been 24/7 working as MS and the other MSs and ministers. We needed to expand the Senedd, and it was good that, you know, we had a majority in the Senedd to actually drive Senedd reform. And I think that the new system will mean that you have more representatives. People will be able to go out and vote for the party that they think will deliver. It's great. I've been going to some schools and talking to them about their right to vote. That's another great thing we've done. 16 and 17-year-olds can vote. But I think it just means you'll have a team supporting the Vale of Glamorgan, of course, joined up with Bridgend. I think that's going to have real opportunities. More scrutiny of government, but more policy making to meet people's needs. And I'm so proud of living in Barrie and the Vale of Glamorgan. All of the developments, regeneration, still more to be done. And I've been really pleased to be part of the Barrie Regeneration Board in the last few months and years. So lots to look forward to. I'll be there, and I'm hoping to play my part in the community.
And looking ahead now for you, your retirement, what's the plans for retirement? What do you hope to be able to do now? You've got more time on your hands.
Yes, well, I mean, you know, I haven't for all these years ever been able to go on holiday during the school term. I have not. Recently, I've got a new great grandson, Oshin, And he's 8 weeks old, and I think I'll see a bit more of my grandson. I'm this neck after Easter, I'll be down in Swansea doing a bit of grandparenting. I'm a mamgy. Perhaps the children will see a bit more of their mamgy now. I mean, obviously, so that is a more normal life, the grandparents. And, you know, my husband and partner, my mother is also still alive, living in Barry, and in fact she turned 100 last year. So I mean, but I want to also be able to hopefully contribute, volunteer, be part of the thinking, and you know, about where does Wales go from here, and I think that's where I should be, obviously also working with long-standing friends and colleagues like Mark Drake for Julie Morgan. We go back to being councillors many, many moons ago together in the old South Glamorgan County Council. That shows how, you know, we're at the time now where we have to now make way for the next generation and the new chapter for Wales.
That was Vale of Morgan MS Jane Hurt speaking to me earlier in the week. Still to come on the Vale this week before 8pm, we'll hear about new stats from Bowel Cancer UK, which says one third of all eligible people here in Wales don't take up the opportunity for bowel cancer screening. Rhiannon heads to the Italian Gardens for a centenary event in Penarth, and Celia will find out more about an expanded space to support young people to connect with others and access mental health support.
Bro Radio.
Are you a small business owner or an entrepreneur? TL Systems are specialists in supporting sole traders and small businesses with their IT and telephone needs. We'll supply your internet, phone, office, security and web hosting, and then back it all up so your data is safe. Our rates are very affordable for you as a small business owner. We can supply everything and give you peace of mind with a maintenance contract from as little as £30 per month. TL Systems. Call us for a chat on 01446 747 702. Pop into our shop at the bottom of Halton Road, Barry, or visit tlsystems.co.uk.
We're making Fridays even more feel-good with The Front Room. Playing your requests, talking about what's happening over the weekend, and giving you that chance to win. Simply submit what song you want to hear and who you want us to say hello to at broradio.fm/Friday to be entered into the draw. Feel Good Friday with Front Room, cafe, bar and pizza at the Pump House on Barry Waterfront.
Bro Radio. Everyone is welcome at the Llandwit Major More Than Food Hub, and we'd love you to join us on the third Thursday of every month. You'll get to meet community groups and local organisations as they all gather at the CF61 Centre. There's free advice and support. You can meet other residents over a nice cup of tea. And there's the chance to take in some fresh air in the lovely CF61 Gardens. Visit Llandwit Major's More Than Food Hub between 12:30 and 2:30 on the third Thursday each month at the CF61 Centre on Station Road.
So you're listening to The Vale this week from Bro Radio. Now, new stats have been released on Tuesday by the UK's leading bowel cancer charity, Bowel Cancer UK, that say over a third of eligible people in Wales don't complete their bowel cancer screening test. The charity is sharing the figures as part of Bowel Cancer Awareness Month, where it's highlighting the opportunities for more people to take part in screening. The charity is sharing the work, and Andy Glyde joins us from the charity now. So first of all, can you tell us a little about the work of Bowel Cancer UK?
Yeah, so Bowel Cancer UK is the leading bowel cancer charity in the UK, and we're here to support people at all points through bowel cancer, from, you know, the moment they might first experience symptoms all the way through diagnosis and treatment, as well as, you know, making sure people understand what those signs and symptoms are, and to complete their screening kit when it comes through the post.
And you've released these figures in the last couple of days that showing that here in Wales, 35% of eligible people don't complete their screening tests. As a charity, were you surprised by these figures?
So the figure that over one in three people are not completing their bowel screening is in Wales, it's the highest proportion across the UK, but it's broadly similar as well. So we're not surprised. We'd like to see it improve. We'd like to see more people do their bowel screening test when it comes through the post. There are lots of reasons why people don't. They might think that because they don't have any symptoms of potential bowel cancer, they don't need to do it. But actually, that bowel screening kit is for people without symptoms. So when it comes through, you should be doing it straight away. And we know people can think, you know, poo's a bit of an embarrassing topic or maybe a little bit messy, but it's actually really easy and simple to do. It's a test that was brought in a few years ago, really simplified how bowel screening happens. And you just need to catch a small amount of poo and send it off in the post. And then what will happen is a lab will test to see whether or not there are microscopic levels of blood in that poo. And if it hits a certain threshold, you might be asked to go for further tests. But for the majority of people who complete bowel screening, you'll get a letter back to say that all's fine.
For anyone who maybe doesn't know, how can they access these kits to be able to have the screening?
The bowel screening is available for people aged 50 to 74. The reason for that is because of national guidelines from the UK screening committee of screening. So 50 to 74 is the right age range based on the evidence that we have. People are invited every couple of years. So that comes through the post. You don't need to do anything. That will just arrive, and then you just need to send it back straight away.
And of course, whilst people are encouraged to take part of these tests when they come through, are there any symptoms or signs that people should be looking out for more generally in between those screening test times?
Absolutely. We should all be keeping aware of what our bowel health is looking like. And there are some signs and symptoms to be aware of, things like blood in your poo or bleeding from your bottom, a change in your bowel habits. So it might be that you're going to the toilet more often or less often, or might have diarrhea or constipation. If you're feeling very tired all of the time, you don't know why, or losing weight for no, you know, specific reason. And likewise, if you've got a lump or a pain in your tummy, all of these are things to go to your GP about, even if you've completed screening recently. Again, in many cases, it's not bowel cancer, but it's worth making sure, because when bowel cancer is picked up early, it's very treatable.
Brilliant. And if anyone wants to find out more about the work of your charity and how they can access support and help, where's the best place to go to?
Our website has got lots of information on it for people to access. So that's bowelcanceruk.org.uk.
That was Andy Glyde, Strategy, Impact and Insight Lead at Bowel Cancer UK. So last weekend, a set of gardens in Penarth Esplanade held a centenary event with local dignitaries, guests and volunteers in attendance. Rhiannon Williams went along to find out more about the event.
You've probably walked past the rock gardens on Penarth seafront and not known it was originally agreed as part of an Esplanade improvement scheme. Today it's a Cadw Grade 2 listed location and it's kept in great condition by Friends of the Italian Gardens, or FIGS for short. On Saturday, a centenary event saw volunteers, pupils from Uskulladerry School, local councillors and members of the community come together to recognise the milestone year. Mark Robinson is a volunteer coordinator for the group and began telling me about why the members of the group give so much of their time to keep the gardens looking great.
The most rewarding thing we get is interaction with the public, which kept us going through some tough times, you know, and the bad weather, and sometimes we think, why am I doing this type of thing? Because people were so appreciative of what we're doing, you know, even though they can't do it themselves or whatever, they would just tell you, and then they'll tell you what the gardens mean to them, like you know, the prestige of the garden seems to reflect their own prestige and as a town. So as the gardens get more attractive, they feel better, you know. No, it's non-stop. Yeah, you'll just be digging a hole and somebody will say hello and just say thank you, doing a wonderful job. And I've never worked anywhere where random strangers come up to you and will thank you out of the blue. It's incredible. Now we're at the stage now where we've got a volunteer group of friends. They're friends now. You know, yeah. We turn up, we enjoy each other's company. We've got the one thing in common, which is the maintenance of the gardens together, which binds us all together. We're the third incarnation of FIGS. There were a few attempts because I think it's been over the last 10 years with the funding cuts. I think the gardens started to look a bit chewed at the edge, you know, a bit sad and neglected and untidy. The council said that they with spending cuts, they couldn't afford to the staff to come down here and spend a lot of time maintaining the gardens with staff reduction. So there were two other groups that tried it. For various reasons, they failed. I came down off my own bat because I was recently retired and looking for some exercise, so I started tidying up the place. And I got involved with the Civic Society. They kind of headhunted me for type of thing. You know, just me. And it's kind of slowly rolled on from there.
The Friends group has recently been working with pupils at Uskull Derry School who've been volunteering to help upkeep and restore the gardens. One of those pupils is Johan.
Mark came down to our school and offered us the work experience, and it was physical jobs with a lot of close people, including friends, are just very fun and are very enjoyable. But his work in particular was quite enjoyable because it was an entire new branch of criteria and skill sets, and we were doing a lot of different types of practical work that we had never done before, and it was quite interesting, quite exciting, and then it was just quite enjoyable and became then another set routine, and it was also just something to do, so that's also why we picked to go along as well.
And what is your favourite part of the garden to restore, or what was the most challenging part to restore?
My favourite part to restore was probably, I would say probably everything to do with the flower bed and the flora involved. So we've dug a lot of paths around the entire interior of the garden. That was probably the most enjoyable. And planting and also going out on trips as well to Brunel Garden Centre and Stanmore Church was also quite enjoyable. The most challenging part for me, we had some quite difficult tasks involving wall removal. I think that's the only removing ivy from walls and actually trying to take entire bricks off the walls, and also removing stone flooring and actually having to cement and fill that in again. That was also quite, I guess some would consider that a challenge, but it was interesting learning how to make cement and learning. Always, there's so much to learn here as well. And Mark and the other men are very informative and very intellectual when it comes to that.
One of those in attendance at the event was Jeremy Hugh Williams, whose grandfather was part of the original opening ceremony event in 1926.
My great-grandfather was mayor of Penarth, and he opened these gardens in 1926, and I have many beautiful pictures of my great-grandparents opening the gardens with a rather beautiful silver pair of scissors, which we have, of course, and also over on the pier we have lots of photographs there of cutting ribbons too. So it's wonderful to be here today, as I remember coming here as a boy so many times with my grandparents. I never knew my great-grandparents, unfortunately, but it's very special to be here 100 years on today.
During the event, a commemorative rosebush was planted by Mayor of Penarth, Emma Richards, who began telling me about her memories of the Italian garden.
So I've lived in Penarth since I was about six, so obviously coming down to Seafront and Tony's Italian restaurant, and lots of time spent here and playing on the beach. But for the gardens particularly, it's my maternal grandmother. So she was born in Nottingham, which is, you know, they've got lots of canals but no sea. And she really looked forward and loved her summer holiday to an Easter holiday in Penarth, and she'd just sit in the Italian gardens, and me and my brother would play on the beach, and it really was probably one of her favourite places to come. Even though she travelled all over the world, she really did love Penarth. It was her home. And when, you know, when she was too old to look after herself, she came and lived here, you know, and she just absolutely loved living in Penarth. She was in Morale Court. And she'd just come down with my mum, and she just loved looking out to sea.
And whilst the garden celebrates its centenary, the Friends of Italian Gardens continue to look for new volunteers to make sure the space remains open and accessible for years to come.
Yes, they can email me at, this is all lowercase, mark.robinson@myyahoo.com, and I'll answer all the emails. The restriction is that we, on the Tuesday group, which is the main group, from 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, that's mostly retired people. So people who are still working, it's difficult for them to find the time, really. We do have a watering team. During the summer, it gets really hot. We need people to water the urn. So they could come in at a time that suits them and help out with the watering. But again, the initial contact is myself at the email address, and I'll see if, you know, We'll take it from there.
You're listening to The Vale This Week from Bro Radio. Now, a space in Barry that supports young people in accessing mental health support has recently undergone an expansion. Celia Hamblin has more.
A mental health and wellbeing hub for young people off King's Square in Barry has undergone a recent extension, enabling it to support a larger number of young people across the Vale. The Hangout was developed by mental health charity Platform, opening in Barry in 2024, with its expansion funded by the Central Vale Primary Care Cluster Group. Bethan Case is the service manager at the Vale Hangout and began by telling us about the background to the charity and the space in Barry.
We are our first open access provision in Wales, and we started in Cardiff. So our Cardiff project has been going, well, 3 years next, well, this month, actually. So we started in Cardiff and it was really, really successful. And luckily then we were able to secure funding for kind of that to extend to the Vale. We noticed there was a need. So we've had this now in the Vale since December 2024. And again, we've been lucky enough to secure this kind of extension, if you like, of kind of going upstairs and making the space bigger to suit the need more. Essentially, what the Hangout offers is an open access service for young people to come in and access kind of on the day, if you like, support. So that could be kind of crisis level support, and work alongside kind of the CRAMS crisis team to, I suppose our aim is to support young people in a crisis, to allow them to like maybe come somewhere a little bit nicer than A&E, because usually if a young person is in crisis with their mental health, A&E is that kind of place that they would go. And I suppose our aim was to make a place, a safe place that they could come, that was a little bit more inviting. And then also our team then could potentially help them in a way that's slightly different from how A&E would do it. And then again, you know, if the CAMS crisis team then were to kind of step in and be involved, they could actually come to our space rather than the hospital to do that. So that was kind of the aim of the overall projects. And I think it's sort of changed slightly throughout the years, obviously, to meet the needs of the young people. Everything we do is young person led. And so we offer that one-to-one support, that crisis support on the day. But we also then offer the social space element, which essentially allows young people, different ages on different days, but young people to come down, access us in social space. So they might not need necessarily that one-to-one talking support, but they can come down, they can be in the space, get a feel for it, play board games, some crafts, interact with the team, and meet other like-minded people as well, which I think helps.
Since opening on King Square in 2024, the charity has seen more young people accessing its support and social space.
It's been a fabulous response, hence the extension. I think, you know, in the Vale, we are limited with spaces like this. And I think it really has been taken with open arms, to be honest. We are finding that social space element is, especially in the Vale, is just as kind of prevalent as the one-to-one support. I think just to have that safe space to come after school, perhaps, and like I said, to meet other like-minded people from different areas of the Vale, different schools in the Vale. Yeah, it's really, really taken off. It's really lovely to see, and I think it's kind of evidently becoming quite a community feel to the project as well.
To allow the charity to grow the opportunities provided to young people, it has recently received funding from the Central Vale Primary Care Cluster Group.
So we were able to deliver everything that we did, you know, in Cardiff. So we were able to deliver the one-to-one support. So we've got two one-to-one rooms downstairs and then a space for social space as well. However, our, you know, the footfall we were getting, our numbers, we were really, as a team, we discussed this a lot, and we were really adamant that we did not want to turn anyone away because we were at capacity. And so we were coming up with weird and wonderful ways to ensure that every young person in the Vale could access us that needed to. But obviously we had to kind of work with the space that we had, which was significantly smaller, if you like, especially for the social space element, because we had the one-to-ones going on the same floor. And it just meant that we had to kind of manage the noise, manage everything going on. So with this extension to come upstairs, we now have split social space and one-to-ones on two separate levels. This, I think, is going to be fabulous. I mean, it's already proven to be, in terms of, we did have specific young people that perhaps weren't confident enough to access the social to access the space because of social space downstairs. I think if you're particularly anxious or just feeling a little bit nervous about it, if you come in and it's a social space day and it's very busy, and you're struggling yourself, it might be a little bit daunting, a little bit off-putting. So I think with this, or again, if you're neurodiverse as well, we've kind of seen that in the past as well. So I think moving social space upstairs really allows for every young person that needs it to access the one-to-one support without that kind of daunting feel. So now downstairs is, we're going to have a kind of sensory corner, like a calm corner, a waiting room, if you like, but a nice place, quiet place to wait if, you know, parents or safe adults bringing a young person in can wait if necessary. And then we'll have the one-to-ones going on downstairs then. So, yeah, it really provides that kind of calm and quiet downstairs whilst we've got social space upstairs. So it's going to flow a lot better, I think.
Since the expansion, the new space has been received positively by young people.
I mean, they absolutely love it. It's gone really, really well. And it's really nice as well. Like, I felt, and the team have fed back that the kind of shifts feel a lot better flow. We kind of, when we were setting up the space, like I say, everything is young person led. So they had a real, you probably saw on the whiteboard downstairs that everything is kind of, what do you want to see upstairs and things like that. So they had a real kind of influence on how the space was going to look up here, and the art as well. We had Hurt So Good come in and do a few workshops with the young people, which went absolutely amazingly. So our referrals are really, really straightforward. We have a referral form that you can complete yourself, or if you're a professional or a parent or safe adult, you can complete on behalf of somebody else on our platform website. It'll be under the Hangout. If all of that is a bit overwhelming and you quite literally want to drop down between the hours of 3 or 9 p.m. on a weekday, or 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. on a weekend, you can literally just drop down, whether it's social space, whether it's that one-to-one support. There will always be a member of the team to greet you, to have a chat. And then what typically happens is they will give you a little tour if you wanted to have a little tour. And then if you were kind of interested in maybe booking in a one-to-one or accessing that social space, whether it be on that day or later that week, we get you to kind of scan on the wall. There's a QR code and it's just filling in, we call them about yous. And it is just some info about yourself, just so we've got that on record. But it really is that simple. And then you can access the space indefinitely then.
That was Bethan Case, service manager at the Hangout in Barry. And you can find out more by searching for Bro Radio on socials. Still to come before 8 p.m, Gareth Richards has a roundup of local events, including a busy one for the Easter weekend. And Jasmine will catch up with the RNLI ahead of their lifeguards returning to Whitmore Bay for the Easter bank holiday weekend.
Bro Radio. Year-end accounts, self-assessment tax returns, VAT returns, PAYE, corporation tax. They all need to add up. So, who better to count on than Blaney Accountancy? Based in Barry, we offer everything a small business needs, and we can help landlords with portfolio tax returns too. For everything from specialist tax advice to practical accountancy solutions. Blaney Accountancy. Call Barry 739 329 or see blaneyaccountancy.com.
Hair loss doesn't just change how you look. It can change how you feel in your own skin. And for many women, it affects confidence far more than people realise. At Bespoke Aura, we specialise exclusively in non-surgical hair restoration for women. Our mesh integration systems are custom fitted for partial to advanced hair loss, including alopecia and post-chemo regrowth. If you've reached the point where enough is enough, book a private free consultation at bespokeaura.co.uk and find out what's actually possible.
school's now broken up and the Easter weekend approaches, RLI lifeguards are back on patrol at beaches across Wales. They've saved hundreds of lives over the years, but much of their work focuses on preventing danger before it happens. Our reporter, Jasmine, has more.
As RLI lifeguards are back on patrol this season, we spoke to Lifeboat Press Officer Lisa Newberry about the role they play in keeping people safe. With the lifeguards that are returning to the beaches across Wales this Easter, what does that mean for people heading to the coast?
So it's great to see the lifeguards back. We can't wait. I mean, we look after the lifeguards in our visitor centre on the prom at Barry Island. So we can't wait to see them back. There's always a bit of a buzz. I mean, this is a pretty important year for the lifeguards because it's their 25th anniversary of RNLI lifeguards and 15 years for us having them on the beach at Whitmore. So, you know, it's just brilliant. And it just means that we can start slowly because they'll be there across the Easter weekend. And then from the 2nd of May, they go on and do weekends until the main summer season. So it just means that we can just start drip feeding those messages and getting those key things out to people just to make sure that everybody has a great time and is safe at the beach.
Can you just put into perspective for us just how much an impact the RNLI lifeguards have in Wales?
Yeah, massive. There were 45,000 people that were rescued, that have been rescued in the past 25 years. And the RNLI have got a very specific set of measures in which they can record what it means to actually save a life. So, you know, you've got to hit, the lifeguards have got to hit, and the same with the lifeboats actually, they've got to hit quite a strict set of criteria of what it means to save a life. And what they've said is that over those 25 years, 315 people have actually had their lives saved by the lifeguards, which, you know, imagine the ripple effect of that. 315 people, family, friends, colleagues, you know, it has a massive impact on people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, having them on our beaches is just brilliant. And it's that real safety net for everybody going to the beach.
So what does a typical day actually involve for the lifeguards?
So they get all of their kit out, first of all, so make sure that they've got everything there that's ready. But I would say that the most important thing that the lifeguards do is to put their yellow and red flags on the beach. So, you know, one of the key messages, if people don't remember anything else about staying safe on the beach, the key thing is those yellow and red flags that the lifeguards put out on the sand. If you swim between those, you know that that's where their eyes are going to be, between those red and yellow flags. And I mean, you know, our beaches are Barry, because we've got the second highest tide in the world. So the tide, you know, it is massive on Whitmore, but it's the same for any beach around our coastline. They will put those flags in the safest place for you to swim. So we have got rip tides, you know, that can drag you out pretty quickly. When the tide turns, you have to be careful. So you will know that if you're swimming between those red and yellow flags, that's the safest place to be on the beach.
So as you've mentioned, the flag safe zones are obviously very important for people to keep in mind. What are the other important aspects of the coast that people should also keep in mind when at the beach?
The tides are quite important. Because when the tides are turning, you know, you have to be careful. We do get rip tides in Barry Island, and we get rip currents. I mean, that cold water is important. If you're going to take your paddleboard out, paddleboards were really, really super popular last year. And we expect it to be the same this year. If you're on your paddleboards, just make sure you've got a buoyancy aid on. You know, get your life jacket on, make sure you've got that on. The other key thing is to make sure you've got a leash and it's attached around your ankle.
So when it comes to the volunteering aspects of the RNLI, what's the best way for people of the Vale to get involved and to get volunteering if they'd like to?
We've got volunteers at our shop and visitor centre by the big yellow welly on the prom, and they will quite often walk up and down the prom with wristbands to give out. That's a really good thing that the volunteers can get involved in. Walk up and down the prom or get onto the beach and walk up and down the beach. And they've got these wristbands that they hand out to parents. Parents can write their mobile phone numbers on there, stick it around their child's wrist so that if they do get separated, then They know to make their way to the lifeguard. Lifeguard can ring their parents or nan and grandpa or friends, whoever they're with, down the beach, and can reunite them really quickly. So there's all sorts of things that you can get involved with if you want to become part of the RNLI, part of our one crew. So, you know, you can drop us a message on our socials at Barry Dock. So Barry Dock RNLI. Or you can drop a message to the Shop and Visitor Centre, which is RNLI Shop and Visitor Experience, Barry Island, I think. That's their handle. Or just pop into the shop. Pop into the shop and you can ask there. But, you know, there's lots and lots of ways that you can get involved, either with the lifeguards or with the lifeboats or in the visitor centre in the shop.
Where can people find out which beaches are going to be lifeguarded for the Easter weekend?
So if you Google lifeguarded beaches Vale of Glamorgan, then there will be resources on there that will tell you. But also, you know, the best place to have a look will be on our socials, so on Instagram or on Facebook, because they'll also tell you the times on there that the lifeguards will be on duty. You know, that's where the main source of information is. But if you Google it, you'll find that information out as well.
Are there any final messages for the Vale community? You know, the most important message we're trying to get across for Easter weekend, just for everyone to be safe.
Yeah, just have a brilliant time. You know, regardless of the weather, it's going to be great. I know that the tide's going to be quite high at about 9:30, I think, on Good Friday. So if you think that it goes 40, 45 minutes on every day, so it's going to be high tide then. Just pop and say hi to the lifeguards, you know, give them a wave. If you find yourself in difficulty, then get to a lifeguard. The key thing, if you don't remember anything else about any of this that I've said today, swim between the red and yellow flags. That's where you're going to be safest. If you do get into difficulty in the water, it's that float to live message. So it's that message that you lie on your back, put your ears in the water, make like a starfish, so you put your arms and your legs out, try to relax. I mean, that's quite difficult. I think that's quite a difficult ask. But if you try to regulate your breathing, you're on your back, you've got your arms and your legs wide like a starfish, then you're not going to sink. So that's that float to live message, but stick between those yellow and red flags.
Right, the Easter weekend is fast approaching. Gareth Richards has your roundup of events going on in and around the Vale of Glamorgan.
Thanks, Nathan. Barry Central Bowling Club is hosting an open day on Saturday between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. at Gladstone Gardens in Barry. The club is affiliated to the Vale of Glamorgan Golden Pass scheme if you're over 60. So to find out more, visit Barry Central Bowling Club on Facebook. Friends of Victoria Park in Barry invite you to their Easter Fair on Saturday between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. Entry is free and includes craft stalls, craft workshops, food and drink vendors and games. There will also be an Easter egg hunt. For further information, see Friends of Victoria Park Barry on Facebook. The Paul Lewis Community Centre in St Athyn is hosting an Easter Fun Day on Saturday between 2 and 5 p.m. The event will include stalls, food, children's activities, a children's colouring competition and a raffle. Visit Paul Lewis St Athyn Community Centre on Facebook for further details. If you've got something that needs fixing, then head along to the Repair Cafe at Barry Library on Saturday from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. and the team of volunteers will fix your things for free. If you can get it through the door and it's not a microwave, then they'll give it a go and everyone is welcome. Clantwit Major Surf Lifesaving Club is hosting an Easter egg hunt at Clantwit Major Beach on Easter Monday. Register before 2 p.m. and it's £3 a person and cash only. See Clantwit Major Surf Lifesaving Club on Facebook for further details. Barry Library are hosting a photo scavenger hunt on Tuesday from 2 until 4 p.m. The hunt will take place in and around Barry Library using Polaroid cameras, which will be supplied, and children must be accompanied by an adult. Booking is essential and you can call 01446 422 425. And finally, on Tuesday, the zoo that comes to you follows the impassioned attempts of two animal enthusiasts to share their love of and concern for animals. featuring puppetry and live music. The performance is suitable for ages 5+, but they welcome younger audiences. The performance is from 2 until 3pm at the Memo Arts Centre in Barry. Tickets are £10 and under 2s go free. For further details, visit memoartcentre.co.uk.
And that was The Veil This Week from Bro Radio. As always, if you've got a story to share, get in touch via news@broradio.fm and we can feature it on a local edition of The Veil This Week. And as always, we're on air every single Wednesday from 7 o'clock, or you can listen to The Veil This Week podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Bro Radio. Glastonbury, The Veil's big live tribute festival, is back for 2026. With 22 amazing tribute acts performing across one massive weekend, with tributes to Pink, Foo Fighters, Tom Jones and Steps on the Saturday, and Coldplay, ABBA, Tina Turner and Queen on the Sunday. Check full listings online. Glastonbury 2026. In association with Synergy Scaffolding. Live at Romilly Park on Saturday the 25th and Sunday the 26th of July. Sponsored by forklift specialist Gary Watson Motor Co., CJCH Solicitors and Joe Ferryday Aesthetics. Book tickets now at glastonbury.com. This spring half term, we're cracking open Easter eggs to reveal excellent prizes. Donated by local businesses, including
Mac Events, Philco Supermarket, Penarth Operatic and Dramatic Society, Glastonbury Juniors, The Cwm Talwg Pub, Front Room, Plaza Toymaster and Health Hub.
Get your entry in at broradio.fm/Easter.
Camping eyes and a final eye. Last man, the shop is picking cauliflower. The fuss to make, I swear they were buying a car. They always moan, moan, it's not so cheap. Cheaper still down the street. Lose my rag and tell them, take it back and shop down there. Closing down, they're closing down another road. One way, system steals the show. Mac the nap swigs, I can't sing a day.
Radio.
From the Sky News Centre.